This is Healthcare Strategies.
This podcast was recorded remotely due to the coronavirus pandemic. As a result, the quality may be a little lower than our usual standards. We appreciate your patience as we practice social distancing. From all of us at Xtelligent Healthcare Media, stay healthy, stay safe, and enjoy the latest episode of Healthcare Strategies. Change Healthcare offers digital-first, comprehensive solutions for hospitals and physician practices to simplify workflows, improve price transparency, and the patient experience.
Hello, and welcome to Healthcare Strategies. I am Jacqueline Lapointe, editor of RevCycle Intelligence. And today we are speaking with Andrew Selesnik, a shareholder in Buckalter and a member of the Healthcare Practice Group. Andrew is going to share his thoughts as a healthcare lawyer on the ongoing hospital price transparency battle and what hospitals can do to prepare for additional regulatory requirements come January 1st. Hi, Andrew. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Jackie. It's nice to be here. Thank you.
A judge recently dismissed the case hospitals brought against HHS hospital price transparency rule that would require the disclosure of payer-specific rates. What does this mean for the rule and for hospitals?
Well, I think the first thing is to understand the posture of the case as it sits now. The judge did dismiss it. However, the American Hospital Association has already appealed it and has filed their opening brief in the matter. So the case is on its way towards appeal. I think what this means for, you know, hospitals is an extended period of uncertainty. The rule is supposed to take effect on January 1st of 2021, which in the business world is just right around the corner. Obviously, I think a lot of us in the legal industry expect the AHA to ask the Court of Appeal to stay implementation of the rule pending, you know, the final decision by the court. But that is a very hard road to hoe. Very difficult to get that, especially in a case like this. And so it's unclear whether they'll be successful. So I think hospitals have to sort of look at this right now and think to themselves, I may have to implement this regulation and comply with it and put out my pricing for 300 plus, you know, different types of shoppable procedures. And on the flip side, they can hope that the AHA will be successful and persuade the Court of Appeal that the rule should be stayed until it's completely decided, which is generally, you know, at least 12 months from now, maybe 12 to 18 months. So that's the first most important point. The ruling, if you assume that the ruling is going to go forward, and on January 1st, hospitals are going to be expected to implement the rule, put down their 300 shoppable procedures, then they need to start working now. And at least the hospitals and health systems that we represent are already working on that. They're figuring out what they need to do. They're trying to determine what procedures they plan on disclosing. Many of them already disclosed their standard charges. So that is not such a big issue. Many states have requirements that charge masters be public, but to sort of bundle it all in with supplies, facility charges, if they employ physicians, what does that mean? That's, you know, a more difficult proposition. And based on what HHS has said the definition of a price transparency rule is, there's actually five different types of rules that they have to comply with. They need to disclose charges on a payer-specific level, discount cash prices. There's multiple different ways that they have to slice and dice it. So, you know, some hospitals have indicated to comply with the rule, it'll require like almost a half a billion different data points, which is, you know, unfathomable, right? I mean, that's a very difficult issue. So the recent ruling, I think, means, you know, hold on, think about complying, and consider what the new landscape is going to be like once this rule is up and running.
Along those lines, what should hospitals be doing to prepare for increased price transparency, especially since it sounds like the rule will be implemented or is likely to be implemented January 1st?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, hospitals, one, have to be prepared to comply with the law. Hospitals are by nature compliant organizations. Healthcare, I like to say, is one of the most heavily regulated, if not the most heavily regulated industry now in our country. So they're used to following the law. But this one's a little bit different. HHS has not given great guidance on what these standard charges mean and how they're going to be interpreted. And so I think hospitals have to take a fresh look at it and decide what they think is appropriate for the interpretation. And then they literally have to assign people and start crunching big data. I think that many hospitals already know, for the most part, what their top procedures are, right? They know what a colonoscopy, more or less, what they're going to be reimbursed on average, or what they're going to accept on average. They already know how to do those charges. So I don't think that's too difficult. But HHS has said, I think there's, you know, 30 that they want absolutely that the hospitals need to do. And then it's up to the hospitals to populate another 270. That's a lot. And that will not take a little bit of time. What's interesting here is the sort of costs associated with it. HHS estimated the cost to comply with the rule at $12,000 a hospital. I think people in the industry, maybe even people outside the industry, think that's laughable. I mean, there's just no way that you can figure all that out for $12,000 of time. Most hospitals have said that it'll cost approximately $400,000 to $500,000 per year to comply with the rule. So a hospital has to make a decision to commit resources, which is especially difficult in this COVID environment with, you know, declining census, declining revenue, you know, not a lot of help from the federal government in terms of replacing that revenue. And at the same time, try to comply with this rule is a real, real, real challenge. But there's another option they have too. And I wouldn't be surprised if other hospitals, to prepare for it, just decide they're not going to do it. I think we calculated the daily fine for not posting is about $300 a day, which to you and I sounds like a lot. It works out to about $110,000 a year, roughly. And so I wouldn't be surprised if you see some hospitals that say, we're going to wait and see what happens, even if we don't get a ruling for the Court of Appeals staying it. We're just going to pay the fine and, you know, see what happens, because it's cheaper for us to do it. And for some hospitals, they don't want to reveal their charge masters because they feel like there'll be a lot of media around it. Maybe their charge masters are higher. They could be in an urban environment with a heavily competitive healthcare landscape. They don't want their competitors to know what their contract is with Anthem or United or otherwise. So I think some hospitals won't comply because it's cheaper. You know, for a billion-dollar a year institution, that's $100,000. It's not much.
There's also this debate about whether the hospital price transparency rule will actually decrease costs and help consumers shop for healthcare services. And there's a lot of studies and stories supporting both sides of that argument. Do you believe the rule as it is will reduce costs? And, you know, what is needed to actually make price transparency successful in healthcare?
I don't believe that the rule will result in cost decrease. The economists talk about price transparency and say that price transparency helps to decrease costs. Like an example is TVs, right? You can shop for the same TV at multiple locations. If you know the model number, then, you know, you can go with the lowest price point, and that forces, you know, some competition amongst TV manufacturers. Healthcare is just not like TV, and it's very hard. It depends on who the physician is, you know, what are their quality metrics. So, you know, just having this information alone, I do not think will decrease costs. I think what you would need to do is you need to couple it with other things. For example, the insurance companies. The rule actually only applies to a relatively small segment of the population, and that's those people, for the most part, with commercial insurance. It doesn't impact Medicare. It doesn't impact Medicaid. Those are fixed costs, and those entities will pay what they're going to pay. Period, end of story. I wouldn't say irregardless of cost, but cost is not big of an issue there. So when you're looking at, you know, how to bend the cost curve, you need to look at the insurance companies. What's ironic here is just yesterday, I think, multiple health insurance companies announced record profits, double their net income from 2019. Yeah, have you heard a lot about premium rebates? I haven't. You know, maybe a little bit. Anthem and United have given back a little bit for 1 month, but they're going to keep that money. And if you really want to drive down costs, the insurance company and premium reforms must be part of that discussion. It's unhelpful for a consumer to go and say, again, using the colonoscopy example, well, how much is it going to cost my colonoscopy? It depends on your insurance. It depends on the product of the insurance. It depends on the plan that you have. Who is in the best position to tell you what that cost is going to be? The insurance company. They know exactly how to price it for you. And so, you know, I think this rule is short-sighted in that it does not include the insurance companies in this rule. That would be much more impactful in order to make a real difference in bending that cost curve. So, you know, only including one leg doesn't help. We need multiple legs in order to really make this thing work and get some additional fairness in the system.
Now, Andrew, you discussed how the actual ruling on price transparency requirements may not get overturned by the courts, but do you think HHS implementing these rules could be delayed because of something like a global pandemic?
You know, the world has changed a lot in the last 4 or 5 months, and I think it's, you know, hard to say what's going to happen in January. I don't think COVID in and of itself will do it. The government could always decide that they're not going to move forward. But that seems unlikely, especially in this political season with the presidential election coming up. I just view that as very unlikely. Certainly, the AHA has already floated in their opening brief to the Court of Appeal that this is really very difficult to do in the COVID-19 environment. You know, courts, you shouldn't make us do it. We have to devote our resources elsewhere. And I think you'll continue to see that theme. I would expect the AHA to go in and ask the court for a stay. The court may give a stay based on the pandemic, but I think just having the pandemic alone, you know, hospitals are still doing business. I mean, that's the amazing thing. When I talk to my health system and hospital clients, you know, the first week or two after the pandemic really got hold and there were the shutdown orders, it was a little bit quiet. And then everyone realized this thing's going to be around for a while. And so, you know, they're out doing business. And so I just think the idea of a pandemic alone is unlikely to delay implementation at this point.
As a follow-up to what you were saying about the issues with the hospital price transparency requirements, do you think there is an opportunity here for providers and payers to collaborate to get that more meaningful price transparency for consumers?
Jackie, I think you hit the nail on the head. That's the ultimate, right? Wouldn't it be great to have more collaboration instead of being adversaries? I hope that it brings them together, but right now, the health insurance companies just have a lot more power over the hospitals. And so it makes collaboration much more difficult. Everyone likes to talk about value-based care, right? That's been a big buzzword for years. But in my experience, you know, having negotiated with all the major payers and dealing with them on a daily basis, they're not prepared to really engage in that debate. They talk about it, but they're not interested in it. They like doing it the way they know how to do it. You know, they're big software companies. And I think that's the problem. I think hospitals love to have that discussion. You know, physicians on the front lines, physicians day to day, they're all about patient care. They're all about continuity of care. How do you treat this patient from point A to point B? How do you make sure that they take their medication, right? That they stay on their medication so that they don't have, you know, adverse outcomes later. The payers have been largely absent from these discussions. Instead, what you're seeing is population health companies and others that are working with providers to try and increase savings. So if you're a consistent theme for me, it's that I think the payers need to step up. I don't think they're going to do so willingly. And I think, you know, HHS has the ability to force them to the table and have that great discussion, you know, that we all want them to have, right? Which is, can't you all just collaborate and figure out the best way to deliver healthcare with great outcomes at an efficient price.
Thank you for those insights, Andrew. There's a lot to unpack with the new hospital price transparency rule, especially its implementation during a global pandemic. But the healthcare industry appears to be going in the direction of more price transparency, whether hospitals like it or not. What are your thoughts on the regulation? Is your organization preparing to comply with new requirements come January 1st? Let us know what you think by sharing this episode on Twitter and tagging us at RevCycleIntel. Thanks for listening.
This has been an Extelligent Healthcare Media production.